Case number 14, William Dennison Sr. and Minglers Incorporated, a.k.a. Minglers Social. Anyone here for the respondent?
Mr. Kelter, I have numerous witnesses that will be a part of this case. I would like a break. I don't know if we need a break. I don't know if we're doing in, if it's agreed to or contested. I don't know the status. I haven't had any conversation with counsel or the respondent, but...
All right, give me a ballpark. How many people are you going to have? Tony?
Ballpark is probably about seven.
Wow. Okay.
Or six.
Yes, sir. You look like a lawyer.
What's that?
You look like a lawyer. All right, I assume you have witnesses.
I have two witnesses.
Two. All right, so we've got seven witnesses, two witnesses. All right. Then why don't we take about a five-minute break,
sure.
And then we'll get into it.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Anthony, you want to talk for a second?
All right, we will resume. Case number 14, William Dennison Sr. and Minglers Incorporated, a.k.a. Minglers Social Club. Is there anyone here on behalf of the respondent?
Greg Harley on behalf of the respondent, Your Honor, and I have Wesley Amos on behalf of Minglers Club. And I have William Dennison, who is the property owner, seated to my left in the front row, respectively.
Are Mr. Amos and Mr. Dennison going to be testifying?
They will.
And have them step forward and be sworn.
Good morning. Could you both state your names into the microphone, please?
Wesley Amos.
William Dennison.
Can you raise your right hand, please? Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you about to provide is the truth, all the truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Okay, Mr. Hartley, do your clients agree these violations existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
They do not.
Very good. And Mr. Jackson, this is your opportunity to present whatever information you'd like me to consider for the purpose of determining compliance or non-compliance.
Yes, sir. Mr. Kelter, this matter is before you for, as you indicated, a determination of compliance and noncompliance. The inspector is Tom Cleave. The property, the principal allegation regarding this property is that it's it doesn't have a BTR and it's not properly zoned for the activity that's occurring in the property. There's numerous witnesses that I will call to testify, so I'll just go ahead and start calling them.
Let's hang on a second. I'm looking at the description of violation. The proposed business is operating as one or more of the following uses: bottle club, adult theater, or nightclub, which are not permitted use in the T2 zoning district. Is it undisputed that we're in a T2 zoning district?
Well, it's undisputed from me, sir.
It's not disputed from my
Okay. And are we in agreement that a bottle club, adult theater, or nightclub would not be permitted in a T2 zoning district?
I think we agree that it's not permitted.
Indeed.
Okay. All right, so we know those uses aren't permitted. We know the zone. Then it goes on, business tax receipt, okay. Business tax receipt, okay. And we got no permit for new fence, no water, plumbing, sanitary systems, whatever. That's what you all are here to argue about. All right, so what am I going to hear? Testimony supporting the city's contention that we have a bottle club, adult theater, or nightclub?
Yes, sir. In fact, what you'll hear is testimony on the city's contention that any of the activity that they're doing is not a permitted activity in it right now because of the nature of the zoning and the nature of the property or the status of the property. But specifically, we will be presenting testimony that, based on advertising as well as information provided to the city from the respondent, that they are a bottle club, that there's a determination that they are an adult theater or a nightclub.
Or yours.
Okay, so first thing I'll do is like to call Suzette Day.
Thank you.
state your name, please.
Who's that, Jay?
Raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you must provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I affirm.
Thank you.
Ms. Day, hi, how you doing? State your name.
Suzette.
Okay, you're employed with City of Daytona Beach?
City of Daytona Beach License Officer.
Okay, and as a license officer, you receive applications for business tax receipts?
Correct.
Did you receive an application on or about, April 21st of this year?
It was in April, yes.
Okay, from an applicant?
Can I just ask you to speak up?
Sure, it was in April, yes.
Counselor, you're permitted to move around somewhere else.
Okay.
To help you see and hear.
All right.
So if you want to stand over there, or stand back there, be my guest, or sit over there if you want.
Stand right next to Mr. Deck. Look at his pew sheet.
I hope not. That application, did you receive an application from Minglers, Inc.?
Yes.
Okay. The application that you received?
Yes.
Okay, and how'd you get that? Who brought that to you?
Mr. Amos brought it in.
Okay, Mr. Amos, who is he?
He presented himself as the business owner.
Okay, and any objection to
no.
The acceptance? Okay. There's several different documents that made up the application. And tell me what those different documents are.
The application itself, a lease agreement. Corporation paperwork.
Okay. And I'd like to provide that to you, Mr. Vitalja.
No objection.
Okay. After receiving the application, were you advised that what happens when you receive the application? What do you do?
I ask questions as to what type of business is going to be there. Mr. Amos stated he was going to operate a social club. So I asked him what his determination was, you know, a social club, what it meant to him. He said something like a moose club, Elks Lodge, of that nature.
Okay. At some point, is this reviewed by zoning or planning?
Yes.
Okay. Do you know if it was reviewed?
It was sent for review. It is in a redevelopment area, so it has to be sent to redevelopment for approval as well for the zoning review.
Were you made aware of, were there any additional inquiries from zoning or from the redevelopment area to Mr. Amos?
Yes. It was sent to Jason Jeffries for review, and he needed a little bit more information as to what activity would be going on at the location.
Did Ms. Amos bring you that additional information? And is this what this is? Take a look.
Yes.
Hand to Ms. Vitalja the additional information as well. Okay, after receiving that additional information from Mr. Amos, were you subsequently informed that was there a subsequent decision that water services would be terminated?
It was based on the denial of the business tax.
Okay, and that's a process procedure that's been followed.
Correct.
In the city. Okay, and was it confirmed that indeed the water services were terminated?
Yes.
Okay. And so did you subsequently send out a notice informing them that it would terminate, and then again it was indeed
notice
that it was done? Okay. You had told me that you also had received information that, well, ultimately there was a decision made by the redevelopment staff.
Correct.
Concerning the
activity.
Application.
Yes.
And what was that determination?
That what was described was something similar to a bottle club, which was not permitted in the T2 zoning district.
And so was that, I'll hand you this. So did you prepare a denial letter? Is that something you do?
Yes.
And you did that based on what? Well, I say prepare. What do you actually do?
I prepare a letter to, you know, if it's denied, I prepare the letter stating it's denied.
Okay, is that based on your assessment or is it based on the assessment of the permit or the zoning?
Both.
Or redevelopment?
Both redevelopment and zoning.
Okay. And so that's a letter that was prepared?
Yes.
And that was, how was that sent to Ms. Amos?
Mm-hmm. Okay. It was sent to Mr. Amos and the property owner.
Okay, and you show return
receipts
on it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'll provide that to Mr. Couch as well. I made mention of a termination of water services.
Yes.
You provided notice of that as well?
Yes.
And is this a copy of that?
Yes.
Likewise, sent certified mail,
yes.
Signed and received by the owner and the...
I believe by Mr. Amos.
By Mr. Amos, okay. And I present that to Mr. Kelly as well. Now, I don't have any other questions for this one.
Mr. Did you take part in the determination as to whether or not Mingler Social Club qualified as a social club, or actually, let me rephrase that. Did you take part in the determination that it was being used as a bottle club, adult theater, or nightclub?
I would as a part of the redevelopment decision. Yes.
Okay, and what did you base? What did you base your decision on to determine that they were either a adult theater, a bottle club, or a nightclub?
The information received in the letter from Mr. Amos.
And can you point specifically in that letter to what information I provided by Mr. Amos would tell you that he fell into one of those three? And you have, I'm sorry. I thought there was two copies, Anthony.
And it says, in regards to alcohol consumption, we do not serve or sell alcohol. However, we will allow members to bring alcohol beverages as well as non-alcohol beverages.
And was there anything, and that would apply towards which of the three?
I'm sorry?
Bottle club. Okay. And what information did you rely upon to base the determination on the adult theater portion?
We had an inspection.
Okay. Were there movie screens set up?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay. Were there some type of objects or anything which would depict nudity, sexual conduct, sexual excitement, or sadomasochistic abuse harmful to minors? Were there things
yes.
in there? And what were they?
There were beds. There was, upstairs there was, looks like a dancing cage. There was a couple rooms that had crosses and a big X to where you would actually be strapped to, whips, masks, leather things.
And how do you know that they were used for such purpose?
Common knowledge, I guess, or just not my knowledge, but
Mr. Jackson told you.
Definitions.
Okay.
I personally don't use them, but
okay.
Seen them.
How about as a nightclub?
Upstairs there was a disco ball, looks like a DJ booth in the corner, area for dancing, a dancing cage.
Okay. Did you see and again, as the nightclub it said, or other entertainment activities, performances related to the display of specified sexual activities or nudity being classified as adult theater uses. Okay, so
So based upon the disco ball and a few other items, you saw that it was your determination it was being used as a nightclub as well?
Yes, and there were beds in almost every room.
Okay. Nothing further, Your Honor.
I don't have anything further, this witness, Mr. Bukalja.
Did you conduct this inspection that you just testified?
I was with three other people, yes.
All right. So you're walking through the facility yourself. So everything you're talking about is based on your personal observations.
Yes. We have a reference in our code when we don't really have enough information to determine the type of business that we can do a walkthrough inspection, and that's what we did.
So your determination was based upon not only the application and the information provided incident to the application, it's also the physical inspection.
Correct.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That's everything. Mr. Kelly, I would call Jason Jeffries. And I'll tell you, Mr. Kelly, Mr. Jeffries has a PowerPoint I think he wanted to present and just give a bit more clarification for you as to the zoning and the zoning requirements, and that's redevelopment, how redevelopment made this decision as well, and what ultimately resulted in the notification of the denial.
Do you state your name, please?
Jason Jeffries.
You raise your right hand. You solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Thank you.
Do you want me to go through the presentation?
Yes, just go ahead. I'll tell you this. Why don't you go ahead and tell Mr. Couch what your role is with the city? What do you do?
I'm a redevelopment project manager with the redevelopment office. I'm assigned to the downtown redevelopment. Primarily, I work with the downtown redevelopment area, and this site, 500 South Ridgewood, is in the downtown redevelopment area.
Okay, and go ahead and present provide your presentation.
This is the location, I think it's mentioned before, is at 500 South Beach Street. It is Zone T2, which is Tourist, Office, and Restaurant. It's the name of the zoning district. And as I mentioned previously, this is in the downtown redevelopment area.
No, this is not Beach Street. This is
Ridgewood. Oh, I'm sorry. Ridgewood. Sorry, that's a mistake.
Does that make a difference?
No. This is 500 South Ridgewood. In the downtown redevelopment area.
And just clarification, I mean, that note there is just error?
Yes.
Oh, okay, that's supposed to be, that's a typo. Okay, very good.
Apologize for that. The purpose of the tourist zoning district is to provide quality tourist destinations and enhance the experience of tourists of Daytona Beach. This purpose statement is out of our land development code. Is to promote the development of quality hotels and attractions. Facilitate the development of family-friendly entertainment, enhance the quality of life for our city residents, and strengthen standards related to the appearance and signage along major corridors. As I stated before, this is at 500 South Ridgewood. This location, in the light blue, that is the T2 zoning. The T2 zoning does abut a single-family residential district to the west. I'm sorry, to the east. Of the zoning district, which is an area commonly known as Old Daytona. I think we've gone over some of this, but the application was received April 27th in the Permits and Licensing Department. April 29th, I requested as staff more information, which was provided. May 4th, the additional information was received, and on May 6th, we did do a site visit, several staff members, including Suzette Day and Reed Berger. Who's the redevelopment director, and then May 16th, the letter was sent denying the use. The reasons for denying the use was related to them operating a bottle club.
Was this site inspection something in addition to what Ms. Day already?
It was at the same time.
This,
yes, this is the site inspection she was referencing. adult theater. Reason for denial, again, was operating a bottle club, which is not permitted in the city, anywhere in the city. Adult theater, which is not permitted in the T2 zoning district. This use is permitted in the BA and M5 zoning districts. And nightclub, again, is not permitted in the T2 zoning district. This use is a special use in the BR1, BR2, BA, and T4 zoning districts. The definition in our land development code of a club or lodge, this is what their application, they were stating they were a club or a lodge. basically states it's building or facilities owned or operated by a corporation, association, or group of individuals established for fraternal, social, educational, recreational, cultural enrichment. Examples would be Masonic Lodge, Elks Lodge, or even the Palmetto Club. There are use standards in our land development code in section 5.2.B.
Can I get that last slide
sure.
for a second? Where's the information you handed me from Mr. Jeffries?
Take that back. That being the application?
That being the information that was provided. Okay, bear with me for one second.
Can I go on to the next slide?
Okay.
In our land development code, section 5.2.B.13B, there are specific use standards for clubs or lodges. And within those standards, there are standards related to the ability for clubs or lodges to serve alcohol. And it does in our code specifically state that a club or lodge, they may serve alcohol pursuant to an appropriate state license, but they may not operate as a bar or nightclub. So even though the applicant was asserting that this was a social club, based on our site review, our site visit, looking at information available about the business online, and the application itself, we determined that they are operating more as a nightclub and their primary purpose is a nightclub than it is a club or a lodge.
How do we define nightclub?
I'll go on to that. So a nightclub is defined as, in section 11.5, as a place of entertainment offering alcohol beverages for consumption on the premise that may also provide on-site entertainment in the form of live performances, dancing, billiards, comedic performances, or other entertainment activities. Now, in this definition, it also then states specifically the performances related to the display of specific sexual activities and nudity are classified as adult theater uses and prohibited in nightclubs. So based on, again, the site visit, I think to what Ms. Suzette Day testified to, and I was there too, given the layout of the building with the private rooms, the dance floor.
Walk me through the layout of the building.
Okay.
And walk me through what you saw.
You would enter at the lower level of the building. There was a reception area. To the right was a buffet line. You'd walk upstairs. There was a large room with a where they had a cage for dancing, a stripper pole, and lights common to what you would see in a nightclub. Off of that space, there were small rooms where people could bring their own. They would sell mixers for alcohol beverages, but people would bring, as they stated when we questioned about alcohol beverages, they were bringing the alcohol from off-site, on-site, meaning the definition of a bottle club. Off of that, on that same floor, there were two or three private rooms with beds in them. On the lower level, beyond the buffet line and where the commercial kitchen, There were other larger rooms with several beds in them. And then there were rooms that would be more common to voyeur rooms where they had beds or massage tables on them and where people could view the massage or sexual activity occurring on the beds. They could view it from outside in the hallway. Then there was another room that, well, there was like a hallway and they had a glass, they had a hallway and then there was these private rooms and they had glass doors on it that you could view into the room.
Okay.
So which would be
hallways with glass doors with beds inside.
Yes. And then there was another room that had sadomasochistic type related, like where they could chain people up to them, like a cross, what Ms. Suzette Day testified to. So that's generally, that's kind of the layout of the building.
Approximately how many rooms we talked about?
All in total,
yeah.
Or rooms with just the beds?
In total, how big is the place?
There are about maybe 10, maybe about a dozen rooms.
Okay, and the rooms with the beds?
How many of those?
Yes, uh-huh.
Probably 6 to 8.
And you also indicated there were a billiard table in there as well?
That was in the large room upstairs.
What else did you say? Today's alluding to articles. I want to call them toys.
Yeah. That was in the room.
Devices.
Yes.
What else do you see there?
That was what was
lead in. Anyone to, it would lead anyone to infer that there was an adult theater afoot.
In terms of the site visit?
Yes, sir.
Okay. In terms of the site visit, I would say the beds in the rooms and then the equipment that was the other various equipment that was in the other rooms for
various equipment.
How do you describe it? Was the type of equipment that you would strap people to for sadomasochistic type activities.
Okay. Sorry, anything else?
Well, were there like whips or anything like that or?
I don't recall if there was a whip, but there were, like, you know, handcuffs.
Okay.
So based on, you know, our definition of adult theater, adult theater is any use that exhibits a motion picture, exhibition, show, or live show representation or other presentation. So, in whole or in part, depicts nudity, sexual contact, or sexual excitement. And it refers to then certain state codes where these are harmful to minors or might be unlawful for minors to be there. In terms of, again, not so much the site visit with the equipment that was there or present in the building, but also what was being advertised on the website in terms of voyeur rooms.
Okay, I noticed in the membership application some reference to stuff. Membership is available to adults 21 years or older who agree to all the terms and conditions for the use of the Mingler's site and understand that the discussions and postings on the Mingler's site may involve language of an adult or controversial nature. So have you seen this site?
Yes, I've seen theirs. I've reviewed.
Is your suggestion that something about this site that could possibly lead to the conclusion that we have a bottle club, adult theater, or nightclub going on here?
Yes.
What would that be?
The site? Is that the copies? Yes. So there's, on those pages, there's their website, which is minglers.com. It then makes references to two. There's actually, on the second page, there's links to a website that's SDC and SLS. And that site is, let's see, by reviewing those sites, SDC.com, where they would list their events, led me to believe that what we have there is, at a minimum, is nightclub activity. Beyond there. Well, first of all, on the Mingler's website, it didn't really present itself similar to what you would see like on an Elks or a Masonic Lodge or any of their type of websites in terms of activities that go on at those sites. And then what they advertise on SDC.com and then SwingLifestyle.com are entertainment and nightclub type activities. That would lead that this is more predominantly a nightclub than it is a social club. And then based on the language in the text, they make references to voyeurism and other types of adult entertainment-related activities that would occur at those sites in the evenings. And that's what led us to believe that this is beyond just a nightclub. It is a adult theater. Meaning our definition of adult theater.
Anything else?
I would just mention, you know, some of the remedies that they do have available to themselves. This was mentioned in their letter. One is that they appealed our staff decision to the planning board for the determination that this was adult theater or nightclub. They had 30 days to file that note, file the appeal, and they did not do that. And then if they want to remain operating as they are, which is, I guess, in staff's determination that it's an adult theater, they could relocate to an M5 or BA zoning district where those are permitted in the city. Or if they want to operate more as a nightclub, meeting our criteria for a nightclub in the Land Development Code, they could apply for a special use permit in the BR1, BR2, BA, or T4 zoning districts. So they have different remedies available to them that staff has offered to them, especially written in the letter, which was they could appeal to our decision to the planning board.
I have another question. Were there any advertising or banners within the facility itself that...
Yes, there were banners
that were suggested.
Yeah, that suggested adult entertainment.
And what would the nature of it be?
Scantily clothed women.
And this was inside the facility during your site visit?
Yes.
I believe that's everything I have.
Sure, I have a few questions for you. On the last packet that you provided of the judge in the case, which was the advertisement and what you're looking at, the first page you're looking at, that's actually from the Mingler's Club website?
Yes.
Okay. Turn to the second page. Well, actually, not second. The next whole page is from SDC. What does SDC stand for?
Swingers Date Club for Swinging.
Okay. But that's not Mingler's Club.
Well, that's a third-party site that they're advertising their events on. So later down, it mentions activities at 500 South Ridgewood.
So you know for sure that Mingler's Club is actually posting this on another website called SDC.com?
I do not know that for certain, but they do have links on their website linking to this webpage.
So it's entirely possible that SDC, which is a swingers day club for swinging couples and the adult lifestyle, very well could have put this up without the permission of my client. Is that a fair statement?
We've
made some pretty big jumps in it today as far as nightclub based upon one thing. I mean, so is it fair to say that is it, or is it true that SDC is not Mingler's Club?
It's not Mingler's.com.
Okay. And Swing Lifestyle, which is the next page,
start your sexual revolution there. There's information regarding Mingler's Club. Do you have any direct knowledge that Swing Lifestyle is owned or controlled by Mingler's Club?
No.
Do you have any direct knowledge that that the content on Swing Lifestyle's website is controlled or directed by?
No.
Just to ask you a few questions about your definitions that you put up. If we could go back to Bottle Club, I think that you had a screen that indicated the definition of Bottle Club.
Yes.
Okay. An establishment in which patrons consume alcoholic beverages they bring onto the premises is defined by Chapter 561. Isn't there a portion of this definition that's also missing under 561, which says that Bottle Club means a commercial establishment operated for a profit, whether or not a profit is actually made? Did you leave that out?
No. I mean, that's the definition as it is in our land development code.
Okay, so, but it also references it as the Florida Statute 561.
Yes.
Are you familiar with 561?
Yes.
Okay, and is that an accurate, what I've just stated to you, that a Bottle Club means a commercial establishment operated for a profit? Is that an accurate statement?
That's what's in the code, but okay. It's got to be a commercial establishment.
Okay. Well, is it your position that Mingler's Club is not a commercial establishment?
No.
Okay. And is it your position that Mingler's Club is for-profit or not-for-profit?
I really haven't taken a position on that.
Okay. As to adult theater, if I recall, you said that there were glass doors which would give viewing into particular areas?
Yes.
And that's part of your basis to determine that it is an adult theater?
Yes.
And the fact that there's an S&M room?
Yes.
Do you, to your knowledge, are S&M rooms tied inextricably to adult theaters?
Yes.
They are. How's that?
In the definition, it talks about sadomasochistic activity occurring on the site.
Okay, so that would be an automatic indicator that it's an adult theater if there's S&M?
Mm-hmm.
Just out of curiosity, did you see any camera or projection equipment on the location?
No.
Did you see a video screen or a movie screen?
No.
Did you see any advertisements in any of the materials that indicated that they would be providing live session performances or videotaped session performances?
No.
Okay. Enough for it.
I don't understand something. These materials you gave me from the site. Go to the fourth page. And about an inch or two down it. It appears to say Mingler's Club and M&M Parties Presents. Do you see that?
Yes.
Okay, is this an advertisement or brochure for this Mingler's Club?
Yes.
All right.
Because at the top, I'm sorry, we're...
All right, I see the top says Swing Life Style, okay?
Oh, you're on the...
On this page right here.
Small print, real small print.
Okay.
Alright. At the top I see Swing Lifestyle, which I take it is some other website.
Yes.
Alright. Continuing down, it looks as though we have a title that says Mingler's Club and M&M Parties Presents. Do you see that?
Yes.
First of all, what is M&M? Do you know?
I believe it refers M&M. I don't know what M&M stands for under this meaning.
Okay, it's talking about Mingler's Club, Friday, April 22nd, Teddy's and PJ's Play Party, 500 South Ridgewood Avenue. So this is the Mingler's Club we're talking about today.
Yes, at this location.
All right, we have a paragraph, we have a couple lines, and then I see a line that, if I'm reading it correctly, it says, no other nightclub experience can compare to the night at the most private and exclusive erotic members only nightclub.
Right.
It looks like it's supposed to say wear your hottest lace or whatever makes you feel sexy. Am I reading that correctly?
Yes.
Okay.
All right, just
wanted to make sure I understood. Mm-hmm. Do you recall whether there was any advertising of these sites in the facility itself, such as banners of
swim? I don't recall.
Life, okay. That appears to be everything that I have from Mr. Jeffrey.
And just for clarification, the swing lifestyle that we were just talking about, that the judge was inquiring you about, have you received any information outside of what you presented here to indicate that Mingler's Club controls
no.
the swing lifestyle?
In line with that questioning, has that website been viewed over the time period since the denial?
Yes.
And have there been events consistent with the events
yes.
that have been advertised on that website?
As a matter of fact, I think it's on the last page. There are the last two pages shows more events planned in September and October at this site.
And have there been, to your knowledge, people who have gone and looked and saw activities going on the dates and times advertised?
I've actually, on different nights, I have driven by, seen activity at the location, and my understanding the police departments and the code enforcement have witnessed the same.
Okay.
But I hate to keep harping on the same subject, but again, there's no evidence that Mingler's Club controls what is placed on another website for Swing Lifestyle, is there?
It's it's an advertisement on a third party site.
Sure.
We don't have the evidence, or we don't the.
First off, guys, I'll figure out what's evidence.
Okay. Thank you.
So
okay. Sorry.
Thank you, Ron. That's all I have.
You have another witness.
Yes, sir. City would call Officer Usami.
Good morning.
Good morning. Can you say your name, please?
Officer Tarek Husami with Daytona Beach Police Department.
Raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you must provide is the truth and the truth and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Can you just spell your last name?
Housamy.
Okay. Thank you.
Officer, you
from
the City of Daytona Beach Police Department?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and you were on July 30th, 2016?
Yes.
Okay, on that day at or near 11:20 p.m., were you at the vicinity of 500 South Ridgewood Avenue?
Yes, sir.
And what observations did you make when you were there?
I was conducting a directed patrol. Basically, I drive around and make sure there's nothing going on. I was told that 500 South Ridgewood is not supposed to be operated. There's no activity going on. I drove by. I saw the parking lot full, approximately 35, 40 cars there. As I drove by the parking lot, I saw a sign, a white sign, like a plastic sign, says, private event, no trespassing. And several people walking in and out through the back door.
Okay. Was there even someone that may have been attending or assisting with parking?
I seen vehicle, backing in and parking in the parking spot, and I saw somebody guiding the vehicles into the parking spot, and a person standing near the sign. The private event, no trespassing.
Did you have any encounter with anyone?
No, I just observed.
And this was July 30th?
Yes.
Okay. I don't have any other questions.
No questions.
Did you at any time enter the premises?
No, I had no reason to.
Okay, so these are your observations as to what happened outside the premises on that evening?
Correct. And inside there was like multicolor lights, purple, orange, red, just going off inside the business.
How were you able to tell that?
You can tell it from the windows. They had curtains, but you can, because it was dark outside, you can see the lights emitting from, like, beside the curtains.
Lights. Stationary lights, flashing ones?
To me, they seem, it seems stationary, it's just different colored lights.
Did you hear anything?
No, I didn't know.
Thank
you. City would call Officer Forrest.
Forrest. Forrest, like you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Can you state your name, please?
Officer Ryan Forrest.
Can you raise your right hand? Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
Officer Forrest, you're also an officer with the Daytona Beach Police Department?
Yes, sir.
On about June 16th, 2016, were you an officer on patrol at that time?
I was.
At approximately 9:30 p.m., were you in the vicinity of the 500 South Ridgewood Avenue at about that time?
Yes, I was.
And did you make any observations while you were in that vicinity?
I was advised by supervisors to make a directed patrol at that area, possible suspicious activity. I went down to the area. I observed from my vehicle.
Okay.
Drove around the building. I noticed different colored lights in the front windows that did change, and I drove around to the rear at that time. At about, I guess it was about 9:30, I noticed about 10 cars in the parking lot, and then I was called out for a call, so I had to respond elsewhere. I then responded back there later that evening and noticed about 20 vehicles in the parking lot, along with some activity at the rear door. Not up where the trailer was. There was activity back in this area right here.
Okay. And did you have an encounter with anyone while you were there on the property?
No, I had no encounters with anybody.
Okay. I don't have any other questions. Oh, wait, one just clarification. That was on June 16th, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
June,
other questions?
July. June 16th?
Yes.
Sorry. I have no questions.
Welcome, sir.
City Call Officer Rossi.
Good morning.
Danny,
please. Officer Ashley Rossi.
Can you raise your right hand? Do you swear or affirm the testimony about to provide the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Can you just spell your last name?
R-O-S-S-I.
Thank you.
Officer Rossi, you're an officer with the Daytona Beach Police Department.
Yes, sir.
Were you on patrol on July 15th at near 10:30 p.m.?
Yes, sir.
And while on patrol, did you have the occasion to go to 500 South Ridgewood Avenue location?
Yes, I did.
And did this have anything to do with any indicators that there may be activity here?
Yes, I was on a directed patrol from my sergeants to go and monitor any activity that was going on. I believe it was myself and another officer that was with me, Chris Marr.
Were you made aware or had you viewed any websites that may have indicated activity may be afoot?
We were made aware of it, that they were advertising on a website.
Okay, and was there any activity on July 15th at 10:03 p.m.?
Yes. There was different multicolored lights coming from the outside of the building, and you could hear muffled music coming from the outside of the building.
Okay. Now, you had your body camera,
mm-hmm.
right? And I don't know, were we able to put that in? And so, running through.
I'm just not sure on the volume.
Takes a moment before the volume kicks in when it does, but that's that is your body camera that we're observing?
Yes.
Okay.
These are the lights that I was talking about.
Music's loud.
Later.
Is there volume in?
Takes a while, it's longer than I expected.
Actually, this is not mine. This is the other officer's.
Okay. Were you present when they
were staying with you just saw me. I was talking to the couple that was standing there.
Because the video does have audio feed. The audio apparently wasn't working. If you want to run it again, we can, or the officer can narrate what's occurring.
Can your officer narrate what's occurring or translate what I'm looking at?
Oh. Well, I can run it again with the audio now that the audio feed is working.
Okay, I see
it
going. I see lights
of
various colors. I see people
coming. Okay, yes. I'll ask
the officer. So I'm looking for your officer's explanations of what it is she thinks she's seeing.
When we approached, we observed the walkway up to the building, and that was the other officer's body camera. It was not mine. made contact, knocked on the door, and that's when Mr. Amos, I think I'm pronouncing it right, came out the door, and my other officer began talking to him. I stayed and tried to make contact with the two that were standing outside, but they didn't want to talk to me. We asked if we could go inside the building, to which he said no, and stated that it was a private party, and immediately closed the door, and quickly escorted us away from the door down the property to where the trailer was seen earlier. Mr. Amos was wearing a shirt, a sequin color, an animal print shirt that coincided with the night, the event that was going on.
So based on the advertisement?
Based on the advertisement that we were told about, yes. An animal night, a jungle night. I don't recall 100% what it was called. I know it was in reference to animals. And it had tiger striping on it. wouldn't allow us inside the club and quickly wanted us off the property. You could hear music coming from outside. As soon as you could hear muffled music before the door was open. As the door opened, the music became clear, and you could see the lights coming from inside the building.
Well, did you see people inside?
I did not see people inside. Like I said, I saw the two people outside. Mm-hmm. And I saw that night, I would say I saw approximately 5 to 10 cars there.
Okay, did you make an observation? Was that just a cage or any of that stuff?
When we were walking in the front of the building, which faces Ridgewood, you could see what appeared to be the top of a cage, and you could see the lights and a stripper pole, or the tops of a stripper pole.
Now, that was on the 15th of July. Did you subsequently go to the property based upon receiving notice of advertisement for events this past weekend?
I did.
Okay.
Saturday.
Okay.
We were advised of a blackout party.
Okay, and this would have been September 11th?
It would have been September 10th going into September 11th because okay. The party was supposed to begin at midnight. So, yes.
Okay, and what observations did you make?
I observed, again, the lights coming from the building, and the music was louder this time. It could clearly be heard from where I was standing, which was across the street at the Gentle Dental, which is a business right there. You could hear the music. I could hear it from my car as we walked around the outside, never making contact, never going on the property. There was, again, the lights and the music, and approximately, I would say 15 to 20 cars this time. And there was people coming and going, and what appeared to be a parking attendant. Again, by what officer who saw me reference this sign that said private party, there was somebody that was standing there greeting cars as they entered.
Did you have any encounters with anyone? Did you have a talk with anyone or anyone talked with you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, tell us about that.
Mr. Amos.
Okay, and tell us what happened.
He asked what we were doing, and we advised we were conducting an extra patrol. And he then advised that he's just making sure we're not on his property. And that was it. We walked away.
Okay. I don't have any other questions.
Just have a couple questions, officer. Were you aware of a party that was going on next door at the fraternity house?
I was.
And isn't it true that some of the music that you heard in the lot came from the fraternity house?
There was clear distinction that I was able to hear from the fraternity house and the club.
But there was music coming from the fraternity house?
Yes.
And there was a number of people over at the fraternity house as well?
Yes.
Were you able to get a rough idea of how many people were at the fraternity?
More than was at the Minglers.
Okay. And were you given directions from your leadership at the police department to do any direct patrol at the fraternity house?
We were advised to monitor any parking violations or if it got out of control.
Sure.
There was no parking violations that I viewed. They were all properly parked. Okay. Along with the Minglers Club, they were all still properly parked.
I have no further questions.
If I can, Mr. McCarthy, I'd like to just, you know what, I'd like to go ahead and call Mr. McSqueegan. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, and I have no other questions for Officer Rock.
No, actually, unless I don't have any for the officer.
No.
Good morning.
Good morning.
What's your name, please?
My name is Thomas McSwiggin.
You still there?
Capital MC, capital SWI, two G's, AN.
Thanks. Mm-hmm. Raise your right hand, please. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
Mrs. McSwiggin, I received correspondence from you, and if you don't mind, I'll present that to Mr. McKelson.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Ms. McSwiggin, if you can just, again, for the record, I know we have your correspondence, but indicate who you are and how are you related, if at all, to the property of 500 South Ridgewood.
Right. I am the House Corporation President for the Eta Iota chapter of Sigma Chi. Can you hear me?
Yeah, okay.
We have...
Let me just ask. I know you've indicated here. What is that?
What is that? Sigma Chi fraternity is a national fraternity. And this chapter is associated with the Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University, which is the top flight school aeronautical university in the world. Sigma Chi is the number one fraternity in the world. And
this is where students come and gather?
They do, and the Sigma Chi is a fraternity. It's a social fraternity, but associated with undergraduates at various universities across the United States.
Okay, how is that location associated with 500 South Ridgewood? Where are you located?
We are at 520 South Ridgewood, directly next door, over the fence. In other words, it's a direct, we directly abut the 500 South Ridgewood.
Mm-hmm. Okay, you describe at least one situation. Have you had situations where at least there appears to be activity going on at that property?
Next door, the first time, do you want me to say when the first time I became aware of
that? Yes.
Okay. Two of the undergraduate brothers had made me aware that they had been given a tour by Mr. Amos, Wesley Amos, and were brought through the house at 500 South Ridgewood Avenue. And I'm not quite sure why he was so open with them, maybe thinking that they were fraternity brothers, and I can't tell you why, but described the interior of the house and it basically as a sex club. Some of the things that I've heard today, the descriptions of the devices in the house and the glass and the observation tables, this is all what I had been told by the undergraduate brothers. Mr. Amos went on to describe that he had spent $350,000, most of it with his attorney, and these are the numbers, $350,000, most of it with his attorney, to put this sex club together, and that they were very careful about doing it, and that they had to be careful about charging money at the door of the club, because if they charged money, that would somehow put the put them into a some other category as far as zoning or as far as code enforcement. Again, you know, coming back, the kids were the undergraduates were convinced that this was a sex club, and it was that the way Mr. Amos had put it together, they were being very, very careful to mask its true identity, what it's really used for. In other words, mask it from the city of Daytona. Now, there was an incident after that, and it was about 2 days before I wrote this email, and I was cutting the garbage out. Every once in a while, I'm as the House Corporation President, I'm down there doing maintenance on the house, and I was putting some garbage out in the back late at night, and there was a fellow out in the back parking area, and I asked him if I could help him. He didn't have a car. And I said, can I help you? And he says, oh, yeah, I'm just waiting for somebody to come out of the club. And he was pointing at 500, the back of 500 South Ridgewood. And I said, well, this is not the club. And he says, yeah, but I'm waiting for somebody to come out of the club. And I said, well, you can't wait here. This is not anything, any relationship, any part of that. And he went off and walked next door. This makes me feel extremely uncomfortable, knowing that we have undergraduates there. We have young ladies coming to the house and that sort of thing. And the fact that this is being advertised on the Internet and we're drawing people, and they don't even know who is going to show up, I would bet, to these parties. And the question becomes, how long is it before somebody has the great idea, hey, maybe we should go next door and party with the fraternity bros. Hey, maybe we should, you know, follow a girl home from one of these parties. Again, I think that this is not something that we want next door.
Yes.
Nothing else from Mr. McSween. Hold on, he has to write past you.
Let me just ask you, are you aware of any of your fraternity brothers being members at Mingler's?
I'm not.
Would it surprise you if they were?
I would hope they were.
And isn't it true that as a part of fraternity life or grade life, as we all, well, those of us who went to college and participated, isn't it true that as part of grade life, throwing parties is a regular part of it?
I would say yes.
At your house.
Yes. When
you have themed house parties, correct?
Yes.
Like where I went to school, we had a purple passion pajama party where they had grain alcohol in a garbage can and things like that. Is that something similar to what you guys do? And not that specific thing, but a theme such as that.
Sure. That'd be a Halloween party.
Sure.
Right. Yeah.
And in your estimation, does... would you have lights and music on at your place as well?
I would.
Okay. And does that in and of itself make you an adult theater?
That in itself does not.
Okay. And would that make you a nightclub?
That would not make us a nightclub.
Okay. And it certainly wouldn't make you a sex club, right?
We would. No, it wouldn't make us a sex club.
So I guess that fraternity life is essentially, you know, the gathering of people who have a common interest in moving their lives forward and having brothers of similar thought process, correct?
I would agree.
appreciate that.
And I'm not familiar with sacred tiles, pipe, but I know that as pipe we had a set of organizational rules that they came from our forefathers that were from
the Mr. Calgary, this seems to be outside of the scope of anything.
I'll tell you the best few things outside the scope of the rules of the students, so why don't we just hear it out and get through it?
Certainly.
Having said that, I mean, is there really much of a difference between a social group that adheres to principles that were created by founding fathers 700 years ago and principles that may be likewise consenting adults? Is there much difference between those two?
I would say yes, because the main person, we have students going to school there that are going to be responsible for flying people around the world or maintaining planes, working for NASA, that sort of thing. When you're advertising to across the country, when you're advertising across the country and you're promoting a certain sexual lifestyle, you don't know who you're bringing into that and what type of sexual deviance. When I think the two main purposes, if you will, of the two are very different.
The main difference, if there was a screening process, the membership program?
Well, it really would not, because I still think you're going to get sexual deviance involved.
So what you really have is just a philosophical difference with what Mr. Anders says and what other organizations.
I would say there definitely is a difference. There definitely is a difference.
I have no further questions.
Mr. McSquigan.
Did I say that right?
Okay. You were asked about events that you have, that the students have at the fraternity house. They have events such as Caribbean.
We'll expedite this. I'm really not interested in what happens at the fraternity house.
Absolutely.
Because no one here is alleging that the fraternity house is functioning in the district in which it's not permitted, or has made any other claim against the fraternity house. So, since it's your redirect, I assume that's what you're getting at. If all you're concerning yourself is defending the fraternity house, I really don't consider it particularly relevant.
No, I was just trying to make clear distinctions, that's all. But I believe you see that distinction. Yes, sir. Well, with that said, I don't really have any other questions for Mr. McSween.
Thank you, sir.
Keep a copy of that?
Yes. And I just have two quick recalls, if I can. If I can recall Suzette Meeks. I'm sorry, Suzette Day. You testified earlier that you've been inside the house as part of the inspection.
Yes.
And as part of that inspection, when you went in the house, do you recall seeing banners?
Yes, I saw two banners. One said swing lifestyle, and the other one I think said minglers.com.
Okay, so they were showing
they were on the wall
URLs
inside
the building, advertising for site information.
Right.
Yeah. Did you have any conversations with Mr. Amos regarding the nature of the whether or not it was a sex club?
Yes, after we completed the inspection, I did ask Mr. Amos. I said, so based on our inspection and what we've seen inside, the advertisements on the wall, would you consider yourself a swingers club? And his answer to me was, well, I'm not going to lie to you. Yes, that's what we're doing.
I'm sorry.
I asked a second question. I asked Mr. Amos, would you say then there is sexual activity going on premise inside? And he said he wasn't aware. He doesn't know what goes on behind closed doors.
I don't have any other questions.
No questions, Jay.
And if I can recall Jason Jeffries.
Jason
Jason, we had talked about the uses and we went through the outline and something we overlooked, I think, in the outline. Are there any authorized use that's permitted right now for this facility at South?
What types of uses are permitted in
Is right now, is it zone? I mean, does it have any zoning designation or use designation that's been approved?
The property itself?
Yes.
Or the
500 South, yes.
The applicant, no.
Okay.
There's no current business license issued.
Okay, and why is that? I mean,
because of what they applied for were not permitted uses in the zoning district.
Okay, and they had to apply why? If that's something required, that would maintain it, or I guess the question is, did it lose the zoning designation at some point?
Well, the property has been vacant for more than 6 months.
Okay.
So when the previous user ceased to be there, they ceased to have a use.
And that previous user was?
The previous one on record was actually a restaurant was there, and also a church had gone through a site plan process to turn it into a church.
Okay, and for there to be any use at all, how much use it requires a new...
If it's a change of use, it would have to have a site plan review to make sure it's in conformance with all existing site plan requirements or land development code requirements.
Okay, and the application that they submitted was denied?
For the use.
For the use.
Yeah.
Okay. I have no other questions.
Can you bring up your definitions one more time of bottle club, adult theater,
sure,
and nightclub for me? All right. What does that say?
Bottle club is an establishment which patrons consume alcohol beverages they bring onto the premise. And that's as defined in 561, makes reference to the Florida statutes.
So by definition, all you need to do to qualify or be determined to be a bottle club is an establishment which patrons consume beverages that they bring onto the premises. And that's part of the Mingler's program.
Right. Yes.
Okay. How about adult theater? What is that definition? Sure.
Oh. Is a use that exhibits any motion picture, exhibition, show, live show, representation, or other presentation which in whole or in part depicts nudity, sexual conduct, sexual excitement, or sadomasochistic abuse, and is harmful to minors as defined in Florida Statutes 847.001, and to which the admission of minors is unlawful according to Florida Statute 847.013. And then includes the exposition to one or more persons, including facilities commonly known as peep booths or peep shows.
And then the last one is nightclub.
Okay. It's a place of entertainment offering alcohol beverages for consumption on premise that may also provide on-site entertainment in the form of live performances, dancing, billiards, comedic performances, or other entertainment activities. And then it further states, performances related to the display of specified sexual activities or nudity are classified as adult theater uses and are prohibited within nightclubs.
Okay, now, can I hear you describe something akin to glass doors to rooms with beds inside them?
Yes.
In which presumably somebody could stand in a hallway watching the occupants of that room,
yes,
do whatever it is they're doing.
Yes.
And
that would be like a peep booth.
Okay. And as I understand what you're saying, there were multiple rooms like that?
There are two, at least two.
All right. Thank you. That's all I have.
That's the city has no other witnesses.
I just
got
one
with
the
council. Go right ahead.
His Ramesses. Just go ahead and say the full name for.
It's Wesley Amos.
Mr. Ramesses, what is your position at Mingler's Club?
I am the president of the nonprofit organization.
Okay. Can you explain to the court what Mingler's Club actually is.
We're like-minded people that get together. We socialize. We're a social club. We've been registered with the federal government for 3 years that way. Or the state of Florida, I'm sorry.
Are you a 501c3?
Yes, we are.
And
Could you just step closer to the microphone, please? Thank you.
And when you talk, slow down. So that, as a 501c3 corporation, does your corporation earn profits?
No.
Do you sell alcoholic beverages at your location?
No.
Okay. Let's go back and describe how somebody becomes a member of Mingler's.
We have a screening process. We have a membership agreement form. We have a membership rule form. And we have the it's membership agreement. I'm sorry, screening agreement and rules.
And so, is somebody who just walks up off the street, or are they, and who is a non-member, are they able to come into the business?
No.
Okay. Let's actually talk about how the building itself, the 500 Ridgeway, is set up. You've heard. The representative from the city makes some descriptions of particular rooms. First of all, are there any rooms that have glass doors that are used for peeping or voyeuristic endeavors?
No.
The room that he described, where there was glass in the door that you could see into some S&M area, is there actually glass in that door?
No.
Do you have any rooms that have glass going into the areas where there's a door or what have you?
Yes, with an explanation. They're all painted.
Is it your testimony that the glass that is in those doors is painted so you cannot see?
Correct.
And are there any walls or windows or anything of that nature that are one-sided, meaning they're mirrored or something
No.
along those lines?
No.
And Mr. Amos, how many doors, the S&M as he described it, the S&M room?
First of all, it's not an S&M room, it's a fetish room, and there's a big difference.
Okay. The fetish room that he has described, do people actually get affixed to crosses or anything like that?
No.
Okay. How many doors are there going into that room?
One.
And is that door a solid door?
Actually, it's not even a door. There's nothing there. It's an open frame case.
Okay. I'm going to show you a photograph of this.
Right.
What is that door right there?
That's a door that closes into what was an old beer closet. This right here is all painted.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, so I couldn't print the damn things.
Well, then I'll set up.
What's that?
That I'll set up if you didn't print it.
I'm just going to show them. It's demonstrative. And is this the room that the gentleman from the Daytona was speaking
describing,
about?
Describing, yes.
Square.
What am I looking at?
This is the fetish room with the door that is to just voyeuristically view what is going on there. Mr. Amos, other rooms in the building. Are there any other rooms that are used for any type of voyeuristic bursts?
No.
Okay. Describe to the court what exactly the lifestyle entails. I mean, what is Mingler's? You know, what is the lifestyle behind it?
We're alive. We're people that are like-minded to get together, and we socialize. We mingle. That's what we do.
Okay. And is swinging a part of that lifestyle?
Yes.
And does swinging take place necessarily on that premise?
No.
Do people like you, do you meet and develop relationships at places such as this?
Absolutely. There are a number of places.
Okay. And does that mean that sex takes place at this location?
That doesn't mean sex happens, you know.
But does it take place specifically at that location? Is that location designed so that sexual intercourse can take place between people who come together and meet?
It is set up for people to be able to meet and go behind closed doors in what they do. Is it in public? No.
Okay. Is it intended solely for that purpose?
No, it is not.
Okay. Do Do you serve alcohol?
We do not serve alcohol.
Do you charge for any drinks?
Zero.
Do you charge for any food?
Zero.
Do you provide mixers or anything else of that nature?
We provide mixers for everybody, whether you mix it with alcohol or you're drinking just Coke or juices. We do supply.
So there's just soda on location?
Soda, juices.
Okay.
Water.
And just a few more questions, Mr. Amos. The definition of bottle club, and the court had inquired this, says that an establishment in which patrons consume alcoholic beverages they bring onto the premises, as defined by Chapter 561 of Florida statutes. Is there also a part of that definition that is missing?
Yes.
And Chapter 561 of Florida statutes, does it also define bottle club as means a commercial establishment operated for a profit?
Correct.
Whether or not a profit is actually made?
Correct.
Is your business that operated for a profit?
No, it is not.
Okay. As to number two, adult theater, a use which exhibits any motion picture, exhibition, show, live show, representation, or any other presentation which in whole or part depicts nudity, sexual conduct, sexual excitement, or sadomasochistic abuse. Do you provide any theatrical performances at your location?
Zero.
Do you play videos?
Zero.
Do you offer open door sadomasochistic shows?
No.
Is what is in that red room a sadomasochistic room?
No.
What is the difference between fetish and sadomasochism?
Fetish is there are different types of things that people want to learn what certain devices or you know what they did.
Does sadomasochism involve pain?
I don't know. Okay. We're not into that, so I don't have a clue.
So there is no sadomasochistic thing to take place?
No.
Okay. Lastly, is a nightclub a place of entertainment offering alcoholic beverages for consumption on the premises? Then they also provide on-site entertainment in the form of live performances, dancing, billiards, comedic performances, and other entertainment. Do you offer alcoholic beverages for consumption on the premises?
No, we do not.
So according to your definition of these three things that the city has provided and that we're here in front of the Code Enforcement Board, do you fall under any of these three?
Zero.
Okay. I have no other questions.
Do you have this website brochure?
Which one?
Show it to me around here. Actually, that's not the front page. That's number one.
Go to page four, if you will. On the top, it says Sling Livestock.
Right there, stop. Go back.
Okay.
All right. And it looks as though this is some sort of an advertisement for an event at your place on Friday, April 22nd.
This was not created by us. We have groups, and we have a ton of groups and different websites everywhere. If we email somebody in our private group, because this is all private, if we email someone in our private group and they decide to post something, we can't control what other people post. This is not posted by Minglers.
Well, would these people also be posting maintenance fees for the event?
Here again, if you send a private message to somebody in your group, we're 6,000 members strong on one site, we're 4,000 members strong on another site. These are all private members that we email. Can someone pick up and make an advertisement for us? Absolutely. And it happens all the time. If you go on Craigslist, you'll see people advertising for other clubs all the time. That club didn't make those advertisements.
Did you have an event on April 22nd called the Teddy's and TJ's Play Party?
Brother, April 22nd, that's a long time ago. I can't tell you what was... So I can't honestly answer that question.
So who authored this document?
Who offered this document?
Offered.
This is from another website that we have no control over what goes on another website.
Well,
are
apparently
we,
whoever wrote it must know something about what's going on in your place.
Here again, you know, there's different people in different locations that do, may host parties somewhere else, and they'll post.
Is this the same Mingler site that your membership agreement directs people to?
Our membership agreement?
Yes, sir.
Our membership agreement
says membership is available to adults 21 years or older who agree to all the terms and conditions for the use of the Mingler site and understand that the discussions and postings on Mingler's site may involve language of an adult or controversial nature.
That's Mingler's. That's not SLS. The SLS I have nothing to do with.
I'm not talking about SLS. I'm talking about Mingler's. Is this found on the site that you're directing your members to?
Is which found on that, just real quick?
Hey, I was just inquiring about it.
Okay, so what he's asking you is page number 4.
I'm assuming, well, who produced this document?
Is this, wait a second, is this...
They're affiliated club links.
Is this found on your Mingler's website?
On the very front page there are Splash, which is a organization that throws parties down in Fort Lauderdale. There's SDC. They throw parties all over the world. SLS, they throw parties all over the world. So, yes, I do have a link because we do have a membership group on Swing Lifestyle that you have to become a member of our group.
Your membership agreement directs people to your Mingler's site, correct?
Correct.
And this is what they find when they go to your Mingler's site?
Black page.
Yes.
Okay. And all the other pages that are attached, are they also what they find when they go to your Mingler's site?
And you're talking about the first two? That's it.
And what about this page that talks about a specific event?
No, sir, that does not.
Okay. Are the statements contained in this document inaccurate or false?
Some of them are.
Pardon?
Some of them are. What I could tell out of it, I can't read it. My eyes are bad enough to where I can't read that small of a print. But I listened to you, what you were talking about, something about a nightclub experience. We never wrote that. That is not a part of my...
Let me read some portions to you. No other nightclub experience can compare to a night at the most private and exclusive erotic members-only nightclub.
That is not us. But we did not write that. If you look on our website, it goes through a description. And what they didn't show you what these are, at the very top of this page, sir, every one of these little buttons open up and tells you about our club and how it's run.
I'm focusing on one that's talking specifically about your club, specifically about this night, specifically about that event, and specifically what the general public was told to expect.
That's not general public. Those are all private. Those are even private sites. And besides, we did not write that. We did not make that write-up.
Were you aware people were out there promoting your place in this manner?
People promote, yes. No. Am I aware of who does it or what does it? No, because like I was trying to explain to you, you'll have people that post on Craigslist for one of our events where we've sent someone a private email, and they'll post it up on Craigslist just trying to meet more people.
Okay, and are these people who are socializing also promoting your maintenance fee for couples, your maintenance fee for single females, your maintenance fee for single males? And your maintenance fee for sponsored males as well? They're
donations, and yes, they do put those on there. If you go to any other site that's on there, people will promote what's on there. There's other clubs on there.
Let me keep reading.
Okay.
We are a modern-day, upscale, sexually charged, private, quote, lifestyle, unquote, unquote, club, where consenting adults come to mingle, dance, and engage with each other. We accommodate all levels of lifestyle experiences, whether it be soft swap, full swap, newbies, voyeurs, fetish, kink, exhibitions. All are welcome to explore your interest levels in a non-pressure, safe, sane, and drama-free environment. Does that describe your club?
That was actually part of that, was actually taking off our original website when we were down in Cocoa. So I can say yes to that.
He goes on to say, we are a club run by those who have the lifestyle, so we know what to look for in a club. As always, yes means yes and no means no. Is that also your policy?
That is also our policy.
So you're actually prescribing conduct that takes place on the premises, are you not?
What we're saying is if someone asks you a question and they're, if you're approached by somebody and you don't want to talk to them, yes means yes and no means no. That means if someone says no, please walk away.
Okay. Goes on. Video DJ with a superb surround sound with an accompanying user light show and a large dance floor playing the latest music videos. Do you have those facilities as well?
Not in this location. We did down in Cocoa.
Okay, anything else?
No, well, I'm sorry, Mr. Jackson.
No, just nothing else, but just for, and I was looking for another copy for you.
Oh, it's just a clean cut.
Yeah, just something that's legible.
Same as the other.
Yeah. Well, it's probably from a different time period, and sure. Which is through affidavit from our sort of police department with a little bit more clarity of those sites for your information. And I have nothing further, Mr. Amos.
All right. Do both of you have everything in the record that you wanted to present today? We just want to know that before I make the decision. And Counselor, you displayed a photograph that
sure.
I can tell you right now we don't have.
Sure.
You're welcome to provide it later.
Sure.
Email.
I'll do
that.
I'll do
that.
Do you display the email down?
Yeah, we have it. Thanks.
Mr. Chef, I do have a couple more affidavits from officers that I'd like to present. I don't want to just money
part. Have evidence as far as we're concerned, Mr. Chief. Open it
up.
What?
Since you can still use it up, it's affidavit.
You would go in the council if you want to ask questions and ask questions. Did you want to hear? Okay, well, we've had the presentation by the parties and their counsel. Are there any citizens present who would like to be heard on this matter? Okay, we have one.
John Nicholson.
Go ahead.
John Nicholson, 413 North Grandview Avenue. I've been in the bar.
You need to raise your hand, please. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony about the price, the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
I've been in the bar business for 30 years. I've managed the largest disco in Miami-Dade County, the largest black disco in Miami-Dade County, the largest Hispanic disco in Miami-Dade County, and the largest strip club in Miami. I've had two restaurants here. I've been to half a dozen bottle clubs. I've been to swingers clubs in Berlin, Stockholm, and Miami, so I'm aware of the differences between these. If something walks like a duck, looks like a duck, quacks like a duck, you always say it's a duck. Having the beds, and we've never really discussed why the beds are there, but the only nightclub I've ever seen a bed in was Club Oz in Miami, and that was on the second floor. For the owner of the club, if he stayed too late, didn't want to drink and drive, pulled out a couch and became a bed. No other nightclub had beds in it. Bottle clubs do not have beds in them. The only establishments, no restaurants, that have beds are swinger clubs. What they call a fetish room has always been called an S&M room. Call it fetish, call it what you want, but it's basically S&M. Whether they do it or not, that's what the room is for. There, the disco ball, the lights, etc., is generally for dance clubs. You don't have those in many of the other establishments. So everything that they're talking about hits with the swingers club, hits with a bottle club. You bring your own liquor, and the setups are there. You don't have that in restaurants. You don't have that in nightclubs. It's one thing only. And everything the city hits, hits where it's illegal in that location. Thank you.
All right. Anybody else want to be heard from? All right. Do we have everything in the record that anybody wants to provide?
Just these two additional affidavits.
Showing points?
I did. Yeah. So, Officer Kionis and Officer Hatt.
I think you gave him two, I think.
Yeah, thank you.
Here you give him two.
Okay, just so we can be clear for our secretaries' benefit, an email from Mr. McSwiggin dated August 10, 2016. And I have a composite exhibit dated May 2, 2016, reading Attention Jason Jeffries. Brain Mingler's Club information requests. I have what appears to be five pages of some sort of a snapshot from a website. I have a letter dated June 2, 2016 from Suzette Day to Wesley Ames. I have a letter dated May 16, 2016. From Suzette Day to Wesley Amos. I have an affidavit of Officer Tim Aaron Coffer, and an affidavit of Officer Jerome Hassel. An affidavit of Officer Brian Quinones. Mr. Hartley has a photograph that I've granted him leave that he can make part of the record after these proceedings. All right. With that, I find the respondent in non-compliance. All right. Mr. City Attorney, how much time should it take for the respondent to make compliance?
And what is compliance?
Mr. Kelja, I heard counsel say what is compliance, and I believe that it was indicated in the website by Mr. Jeffries what compliance would be, that they deceased the activity, obtain a go to a location where that activity is permitted. That's pretty much all we really have left. The time is run for to appeal the decision of the staff. And I think that was all of them. To make it one more.
You're losing me. I'm assuming compliance is the cessation of any and all activity
at that location.
Through as a bottle club, an adult theater, or a nightclub, or any form of advertisement or solicitation that would suggest or represent to the public that there are bottle club, adult theater, or nightclub activities being conducted at this location.
That's correct.
Is that what compliance would be?
Yes, it would be.
That's what I thought. Okay. How much time should it take for the respondents to come into compliance?
They should be able to do that within 48 hours.
Okay. Counsel, would you like to be heard on the amount of time necessary to come into compliance? And I understand you dispute the finding regarding noncompliance, so don't worry about preserving that.
I think you should have a little bit more time. My understanding is compliance consists of ceasing the activities that would give rise to them being a bottle club, a nightclub, and or a adult theater. It should be relatively easy to do. And then, what is the remaining?
And not promoting, advertising, or suggesting that such activities are permitted at that location. And all this is going to be a prelude. Just to give you the lay of the land. First, we come into compliance. Then, I suspect the city will be asking for a will fine in the event there should ever be a future violation. So, I'm just giving you that landscape because now the immediate question to you is how much time do you need for your response to come into compliance?
I'd ask for 30 days. And the reason being is that the advertisements, such as the ones you saw, where they don't necessarily have control over it, it seems to take some time to purge. And we want to make sure that they've got time to go and contact these other people, such as SLS and SOS, whatever it is. Some of these other people, make sure that they pull that stuff down and that it's out of the stream of public consumption.
Well, Mr. Vicalda, seeing that this one testimony is they have nothing to do with those locations. I don't know why they would need time.
All right, I'm going to order the respondent to come into compliance within 3 days or by Friday, with one caveat. With regard to the website, the advertising, and what have you, I'll give you to our next cutoff, which is October 5, 2016. I come into compliance on that. So as far as the actual activities on the premises, 72 hours to come into compliance. As far as advertisements and solicitations, understanding from what council is suggesting, that could take some time. I'm giving in to the next cutoff, which is October 5, 2016. They see to it that those are all taken down.
Mr. Kelder, we kind of overlooked, I believe the testimony supports that they have a fence violation as well with this. Okay. Yeah, if they hadn't taken care of it, we'd like them to take care of that by next cutoff.
Set it down. So it
okay.
Sounds as though that's...
No. Okay. And that's my understanding. I don't believe that the water's a problem as of right now. So
the water's on.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else to be addressed?
Nothing else, sir.
Counselor?
Yes, sir.
All right, do we have any miscellaneous business to be brought before the special magistrate?